title of this sermon, or sermon today, short sermon, is The Power of Prayer. Now, we've all prayed and we've all learned how to pray. Remember, when my children were all small, I taught them how to pray. My wife also, we'd go in, tuck them into bed, and I had several prayers that I just offered up to Yahweh on behalf of our children, trying to always teach them to be thankful for what they have, and also to appreciate those things. You know, most people believe that the fastest thing known to man is the speed of light. That's what they say. That may be true from the standpoint of science. However, in the spiritual realm, when we consider Almighty Yahweh's great power, we're amazed at what we can do. And ultimately, we can do through Him when we tap into His great power. Certainly, as we know, Yahweh is the most powerful being in the whole universe. They say right now that this universe is expanding. And, you know, maybe it is, but how do they know it's expanding? How do they know they're not going back together again? But anyway, this is something we need to consider. What is prayer, and why is it so important? Well, plain and simple, prayer is communication with Yahweh. The Bible, here's my Bible. That's all He has communicated with man with His book, okay? And now it's up to us to communicate back. You know, I heard people say, "Whoa, Yahweh didn't do anything for me." That may be true for that person, but what have you done for Yahweh lately? That's like JFK was attributed to the saying that, "Don't ask, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Well, ask not what Yahweh can do for you. Ask what you can do for Yahweh." That's the way you want to do it, because Yahweh, He rewards His people. I want to thank you all I'm thinking about it, for praying for me. I am making progress, and I'm just waiting for Yahweh to heal me. If that's His will, it will be. But if you look here again in the scriptures, let's consider Matthew chapter 6, and starting with verse 7. In this passage here, this is what we have. I'll get over there for a second. I tend to get a little bit frazzled easy, but once I get past that, I'll be okay. I was always nervous when I was preaching, even before I had this disease, but my goodness. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. Getting close. I'm almost there now. And I think I'm just about there. I mentioned my wife every time. When I come to services, I feel like I'm at Cape Canaveral. Especially today when it was in 10 seconds. So, you know, you gotta have everything on time anyway, but I felt like it was, you know, you get a feeling too. Some do, some don't. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading here with verse 7. Okay. "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray." Okay, I'm going to stop. I have to have a commentary here. They do in the news all the time. Remember, somebody gives a speech, and they give a commentary. Because they don't think the people here know what anybody's talking about, so they have to have commentary. Well, I'll be the commentary for us today. Verse 7. Here he says, verse 7, is, "Therefore, pray." He sends for his disciples after. He's going to teach them how to pray now. Why do you have to teach them? Well, I mean, you don't know how to pray unless somebody shows you what you're doing. They recognized that. They knew also that Yahshua probably was able to cast out demons and do things they couldn't do. That is mentioned later in the Bible, in the New Testament. However, he starts the prayer with "Our Father." He says, which means He's his Father and our Father both. He says, our Father. He wouldn't say your Father or Joe's Father or Jim's Father or even Bob's Father. But it would be our Father. Our Father is here. Our Father in heaven. We know where he's at. He's located in heaven. I was thinking about going through the Psalms. There's a lot of Psalm things in the Psalms on Yahweh's location. And I think Psalm 146 is one of them. And it mentions there that he abides in the north. If you ever look in the evening sky, it gets so clear here in Missouri. You look out, you can see there's less stars in that area of the country, up in the sky there. So, I can presume, I think, safely, if I go through some of the scriptures, that the kingdom of Yahweh, that Yahweh, he's out there. Now, what's he doing? Well, he's going to come home. He's going to pick Yash up on the way. And they're going to have all the people that are on the earth right now be resurrected, and some for good, and some are going to be destroyed. But that's going to happen in the next verse 10. Your kingdom come, and your will be done. We want Yahweh's kingdom to come. Well, how can it come? It can't come. Yahweh can't stand to be around people who have sinned. He can't take it. I don't know, must draw him or something. But, it's one of those things that he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. The kingdom is going to come to this earth. But the kingdom is the government of Yahweh, isn't it? So before that kingdom can come to this earth, things have to happen. And we know that Yahshua is the one who's going to make all that happen. You can go over to Revelation 19, you can see it describes men on the horse. This time the guy on the horse is not a bad guy. It's Yahshua. And he's going to come, he's going to destroy those people that have opposed him. And then he's going to begin to prepare the way. The great white throne judgment is mentioned there. Some of those things that are also located there. But is that those things will happen, then we're going to have to wait and see how long. People say sometimes, oh, it's only 1,000 years, right? Well, I don't know. We don't know that for sure. Because Yahshua, he's going to have to judge probably in the neighborhood of 6 billion people. You ever think of that? It's a lot of people. He will begin his resurrection. But he's in eternity, okay? Yahweh's in eternity right now. So we can't fully understand that maybe, but as things progress, Yahweh's going to reveal more and more to us, through his son Yahshua especially. In verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, and we're so thankful for the bread we have. The food is relating here. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Even the point that if you want to be, we know if you want to be forgiven, the best thing you can do is forgive others. Because, I've seen that so often in my life. I think it's one of the great lessons that Yahweh was teaching us all. That is, we have to learn to forgive. Because you cannot be forgiven, you can't feel good about salvation, unless you're one of those people who's willing to forgive your debts of others. We think of the sabbatical year in that. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, from the adversary. He's out there trying to destroy Yahweh's people always. So we have to make sure we're delivered. Yahweh's going to deliver us. But deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14. Here we have it one more time. If you forgive them their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I mean, we're talking about salvation here, right? As it shows this. Because, something is required of us every step of the way. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. Not totally. The Word of Yahweh gives us some glimpses of that, especially when you go through the Book of Revelation. The Bible study, we've been going through the Book of Revelation here lately. And today we end up going through the three chapters, I guess. Wasn't it, Javon? Whoever was out there, yeah, I think it was Tree. They're so short. But those prophecies, they really hit home. And is it better? Can you hear me better? Oh, the clicker. Oh, it was in my Bible. Yeah, but I don't need that. Sorry about that. I just kept turning the pictures on and off, didn't I? Well, like I said, I haven't been up here in a long time. It's fun, though. Okay. There's a number of prayers you have in the scriptures. I can think of some of these things, and maybe we'll go over maybe one or two of them. But again, the title of this message is The Power of Prayer. And we see how Yahshua taught his disciples to pray. Now, he gave them power, actually, when he did that. Did you see the power transferred from his disciples, from him to the disciples, and on and on? I can remember, like I said, some of the prayers that we hold fondly are ones we have with our children. I think I really enjoyed that when my kids were small. I'm trying to remember some of those. Can you remember any of them, Ellie? Can you remember some of the ones we did? Mine would always rhyme. I forget how that was. But anyway, there are many aspects to what we're doing now. Anyway, it goes through here and mentions all these things here. Let's take a look at over in John 17. I consider at least one of these prayers. Now, John 17 is usually referred to as the Yahshua's. Let me get the headings and I'll find out what it is. Let me see. Yeah, my problem these days is I can't do two things at one time. I'm one of those people I can't chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. And just give me some bubble gum. I like bubble gum, especially kosher stuff. So. Give me some bubble gum and I'll show you. But once the sugar's out, forget it. I can't walk anymore. It could be worse, though. Really think about it. A lot worse. Okay. Here in John 17, we have a whole passage, a whole chapter. And in this chapter, Yahshua offers prayers, first for himself, and ultimately for his people as well. So this is important to us because we're supposed to be Yahweh's people today. Okay, so we go over to verse 1, 17:1. Yahshua spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true Elohim, and Yahshua Messiah, whom you sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, and with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Well, it's pretty obvious that Yahshua, he pre-existed with Yahweh. There's no question of that in my mind. He actually is like we are. He has eternal life, but it has to be given to you by Yahweh. And so there's a duality there. Duality is the Father and the Son. He goes on here in verse 6. "I manifest your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world." Now, he mentions Yahweh's name there. Is there a question? I think three times in this chapter, we're not going to go hit every one of them, but three times in this chapter, it mentions Yahweh's name. And it didn't say, it'd be Hashem here. What's interesting about the New Testament, of course, we know John, his book was compiled at the end of the first century. And he had some things in here that the others don't have. But anyway, in verse 9, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name," there it is, "those whom you have given me, that they may be one. We are, while I was with them yet in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I have come to you, and these things I speak to you, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. There's three times we're seeing an evil one mentioned here. Of course, we know that is the adversary. And, you know, times are going to be very tough. You know, we're supposed to be preparing ourselves right now emotionally for what's going to happen in the near future. And you know, Yahweh, he is control of everything. But realize, too, that he also has given us a free will. And, you know, and so we do not believe in predestination. There's no such thing as predestination. It's up to you to make the choices. It's up to me to make my choices so that we can get into the kingdom of Yahweh. Choose where we want to go. Of course, if, you know, who doesn't want to go to the kingdom? Well, if you don't go there, obviously, then you're going to be destroyed. But, again, so it shows here, again, in this prayer that Yahshua is offering, it touches on those things that are important. And we'll go to Revelation chapter 8 now. And what you see here in 17, is that Yahshua, he gains strength. You can see that if you read through the whole chapter 17. He gains strength from this prayer. And of course, the prayers of the saints are something that is very important. So we go over to Revelation 8, and we'll see that here. And I'll be closing soon. Okay. I have arrived. Yeah. Good. 3-5. Okay. Revelation 8, in verse 3-5. It says here, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound the trumpets. And the first angel sounded, and all fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth. A third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. I should have started on one, I guess. Let's go back to verse 1. When we opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about half an hour. Here we are. And I saw seven angels who stand before Yahweh, and to them were given seven trumpets, and another angel having the golden censer. Anyway, it mentions here in the different translation, but this one here, it mentions that in actuality, we are going to see that the saints, the prayers of the saints are described here as being censers of putting them upon the altar, and as they would, in verse, and smoke of the when the incense is put on there. That would be in verse 4. And the smoke of the incense with prayers of the saints ascended before Elohim from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, and an earthquake. So that was part of it. Now, what do you think the saints are going to be praying? What do we usually pray for? Do we want a new car and pray for that? I use one, but I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to waste my prayers on a new car, I'll tell you that. But anyway, like I said, we have children. We teach them to pray. And we have special needs that we have sometimes. I know that right now in my family we're going through some difficult times, but we're going to make through it. Yahweh has gotten us always through these things. And, I just want to remind everybody that things do happen for a reason. A reason for everything. And if we haven't learned the lessons Yahweh wants us to learn now, then we have to learn it in the next few years. And again, all this take it in stride and see what you can do. Because Yahweh loves his people. And we certainly do love Yahweh. And you know, I know that for a fact, because I've seen the people here exhibiting, you know, what I've been looking for all my life, really. That's the love between the brethren. And you know, I've never found it anywhere else but here. I'm gonna spread that around, by the way. But I take that just to give you a little up on what's going on at the Unity Conference. And you know, it was funny because Randy, I'll get out of the bag, but Randy was asked, maybe in about 5 minutes or so, he had to hear us, we want to speak on, Margie. And then Alan was given like 10 minutes, I think. But they, you know, they're right up there. And you know, they know what to preach the word, they can do that. And I thought, well, I told him, I don't worry about those guys at all. They know exactly what they're doing. And why do you think they choose him like that? And it's like, you know, it's like a hockey game or a, you know, hockey game, but maybe a baseball game. You move your key players to where you need them to do something. And those people are, I think everybody there, they recognize who the leaders are. And I do too. And I'm so thankful to be here, really. So may Yahweh bless you all. Have a great Sabbath. And boy, that wasn't that bad at all. But anyway, I do love you all too. I want to thank you for your prayers. May Yahweh bless you abundantly.